come this winter, maybe. I'll be watching for that. And I guess this is another question I like to ask of folks. What do you do when you're not making music? When you're not music-related stuff, what else do you do?
I watch a lot of Netflix, and I've been trying to go on more hikes, which has been really nice. I've recently become obsessed with this Netflix show called Heartstopper, which is really sweet and just super, really sweet show, and I love it, and it makes me happy. But I love going on hikes, and I have a very cute dog that is obsessed with fetch, and we play fetch every day, multiple times a day. And I've been trying to paint a little bit more. I'm not very good at painting, but I enjoy it. And read a little bit more, which is good for my brain, instead of scrolling endlessly on social media. a little bit of things, a little bit of relaxation, going to therapy, working on myself, all those things.
Well, I do hope to see you on a stage or on a movie screen somewhere in the future, maybe with Envy of None, maybe with one of your other projects. Maya Nguyen, once again, thank you so much for spending a little time with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Past episodes of Times Like Now can be heard wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to the letter J, Cody Robertson, for original theme music. My name is Trevor Collins, and I can be reached, trevor@timeslikenow.com. And I look forward to speaking with y'all next time.
Fighting for survival is such a boring battle. Wanna get into my car, I wanna drive out to Seattle, where the used record stores
have much better prices. Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream, have him on my whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is photographer Mariah Harris. She's talking about her contribution to the show of photography about the Black Lives Matter protests in Portland in 2020 called Perspectives, which is on now through November the 13th, 2022. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Mariah.
Thank you.
So you are one of six photographers who is featured in the show. It takes up one very big room in the art museum upstairs, where the main shows usually are.
Mm-hmm.
The work is all around the walls, and then there is a sort of living room that's been built in the middle, which shows old photos of African American families. It's sort of a from the archives kind of thing. But each photographer has a space on these walls. And yours are in the corner on the right as you come in from the elevator, and yours stand out because they're all in color.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the work is black and white or sort of semi-black and white. So yours really stand out, this bright summertime colors. So you were out there shooting Black Lives Matter marches in 2020 in Portland in different locations. How many times would you say you went out with your camera?
Well over 75 to 100 times, because I also carried it into 2021 as well. I was out there quite a bunch.
Did you start off with a view to shooting everything, or did you shoot more or less as time went on?
Well, of course, I didn't know what was about to unfold. And the very first protest that happened, it happened at Peninsula, you know, when it went into downtown, and then all of the, you know, the looting happened that night. I lived close to Peninsula Park. And like everyone at that time, we were, you know, quarantined, stuck. And I was like, let me just grab my camera and go and, you know, photograph some things. And I had no idea, obviously, what I was about to photograph. And then it was like day two. And I was like, well, I guess I'll do it again. And I would post pictures to my Instagram, and then my Instagram blew up because so many people found my photos and were saying how much of a good job I was doing. And I was just like, guess I'm good at protest photography. And at the time, my actual photography business was extremely slow like many others, because I mean everybody was like shut down, you know.
Your daily job is lifestyle photography, Moments by Mariah, that's on Instagram, that's those words with people between them. So you take like boudoir photos and portraits.
So I actually have two jobs. I actually work for a nonprofit. That's my graveyard full-time job, because I was actually doing the protests while working my full-time graveyard job. And then I have my side business, which is my photography business. And I do photos of couples and families, and I do boudoir photos of women or non-binary individuals.
And this is in a studio?
I do rent studios out for people who do want to have their photos in a studio. But for the most part, I primarily work on location at different locations, depending on where my clients want their photos taken.
And then when you went out to the first marches, did you go as a protester? You were there to stick your hand in the air and chant and, you know, represent?
Oh, yeah, I do it all. I'll photograph and I'll be out there protesting and yelling and having a microphone. And yeah, I don't know how I do it, but somehow I do it.
And what gear did you grab for that first few visits?
Actually, primarily that whole summer, because I was still working on building my photography business. So I shot the majority of my protest images on a Canon Rebel T7i with a 50mm lens the whole time.
So just tell the listeners what kind of camera is that?
So Canon Rebel T7i, it's a beginner photo camera. It's not a full frame body camera. It's a beginning camera for people who are getting into photography and wanting to understand all of the steps and getting up there to a bigger, you know, upgrade camera. And so that's at the time I was working on that smaller, inexpensive camera body. But just because you have a smaller body, inexpensive camera body, doesn't mean you can't produce great photographs, because it's about how you edit. And obviously with my photos, I like to edit in color, actually very similar to how I do my lifestyle photos with my couples and my families and my boudoir. So when it came to editing the protest images, I just treated it like my regular normal sessions. And yeah, there was no like, how do I edit these photos? I was like, I'm just going to edit how I always edit, and hopefully it turns out good.
The first one, as you go from the left, it shows the St. John's Bridge, Forest Park in behind that, trees then in the foreground, and then the bottom third is a sort of sea, basically a sea of white people with their fists raised, and there's one cardboard sign. It says BLM, love heals hate kills, and the K is like KKK.
KKK.
Warning, and then it says one love. So it's one of those little cardboard handwritten signs, red and black on white. And then in the foreground, everyone is covered in this golden sun summer day kind of light.
That was actually the day that the wildfires started here Portland, was when I took that. So it was actually very smoke, like all the smoke was coming in, and everyone, because yeah, we started the march fine, and then at the end of it all the smoke was rolling in because everyone was caught. We didn't know what the heck was going on. We didn't know. Clackamas was burning up and it was coming to affect us. And yeah, so that was actually the day that we became the worst city in the world with air. That was that day.
Right Okay. Yeah, now I look at the sky, it's all gray and there's smoke everywhere, but the people are in this sunshine and they're all marching away from the camera. What did you do to get that shot, and then why did you select it?
So I like to find, even though I won't say it's joyful, but I try and find signs and joy in the protests, because it's very easy to capture the pain and while we're out there. So for people to try it, or not try, they are doing, and being able to showcase that Black joy while we're protesting like oppression and social injustice, it's eye-opening to me, and it's just like amazing. And I try and find that part to capture it. But when I was capturing this photo, it's like protests, people will change every 3 seconds with when they're chanting or something. So I think everyone was just walking around with their fists up, and they were all walking, and I just happened to have everyone was just walking away. And then I snap and go, and then sometimes I don't realize the image that I take until like afterwards. And I'm like, oh, wow, that was a really good image. So I don't even remember what I was necessarily focused on when I took that St. John's image. I just know like, yeah, the fist in the air is what caught my attention. And then, you know, when I see it on the screen, I'm like, okay, there's a good shot of the bridge in the background and everything.
Mm-hmm. And that was called Love Heals 2020. The next one next to it is The Eye Gravitates Towards Damon Lillard, because he's a celebrity and we've seen other shots of him looking very heroic at the front of a line with his fist up. But this is shot from a different angle. He looks kind of normal. He doesn't even look very tall in this picture. And he's surrounded by...
It's one of my favorite photos because I actually didn't even know he was there when I took that photo. I realized it afterwards and people were like, Damian Lillard is here. And I was just like, what? He was there. I mean, I was there a good, yeah, because we walked across, I forgot what bridge that day, but I guess I was marching with him for a good 20 minutes. I had no idea he was there. I was just really focused on what I was doing and not trying to get a photo of like, I mean, I know who he is, but yeah, I wasn't trying to get a photo of him specifically.
When you went home and looked at what you had, that's when you spotted him?
Well, I noticed it when I was still there at the protest when people were like, Damian's here. And I was like, wow, I wonder if I got an image of him. And at the time, you know, looking on my little Canon T7, you know, those screens are only like 2-3 inches. So I saw that I got one of him. But then obviously when I went home that night, or I would say to work that night, I never went home after the protest. I always had to go to work. When I went and loaded on the computer and went to go edit it, and I was like, wow, that's a good image, and it's one of my favorite images to this day.
This one has trees in the background, so he's somewhere else.
It was the waterfront. It was like the waterfront right before you get to like Salmon Street Fountains.
I also love that the girl on his left with glasses, she's kind of linked arms with him, but I don't know who she is, but there's other girls, you know, like teenage girls right alongside.
Mm-hmm.
You know who they are?
I did meet them. One of their names is Amira, and she's in college now. But I don't remember. I don't know their exact spellings. But yeah, one of their names is Amira. But they're all, I think they all just graduated like high school, or they're just starting college. So yeah, they're very, very young.
Mm-hmm. But were they like Team Damian, or they just happened to be next to him?
I think they just happened to be in the front as well. Because yeah, who knew a superstar was going to go protest with us?
Right. So then you've got the next one, Scream for Justice. It's three of those girls. One has put a mask on, actually. Another girl screaming without a mask. She's right in the middle. You can see into her mouth. It's so central to the
image.
And the other girls, you can tell the others are screaming behind their masks.
Yeah, no, I believe they were screaming Black Lives Matter at that exact time. Even though the photo is very zoomed in, I was not that close. I do not like to shove my lens in people's faces. It's against my journalism ethics. So that photo was a little bit more pushed out, but when I went and edited it, obviously I felt that there was so much power that they were giving through their with them yelling. So I zoomed in and cropped it in just a little bit and yeah, focused on them, because yeah, that is a very powerful image to me with them and emotional.
And they have their signs pretty prominently, and they all have black t-shirts on with different kind of slogans. Well, two have t-shirts, one has a black top. What were you doing with the colors in this image? Because you're really the only colors are the kind of African mask on the girl on the right, and a bit of a sign in the background that's in red.
Yeah, I was just trying to edit similarly to how I do my photos with my couples. And I use presets for all my photos. So I would just apply one of my presets and then just tweak it to how I liked it and then post it and hope other people liked it as well. But yeah, I try to keep the warmth in the images no matter how much pain or joy is being depicted through my photos. I like to always still bring warmth through my edits and have people, yeah, see that.
Is the idea to make people's skin look good?
Usually with like my couples and stuff, like is when I really care about like, hey, let me remove this pimple or this blemish, you know, but like this is protested. I'm trying to give it to people raw. Like I can't you know, like how it is, because like it's being at the right place at the right moment. That's why I love that there's so many different photographers out here, because and our perspectives, because you know we all can't be somewhere at once. And so with my photos, I'm like, I'm not gonna re-ask someone to redo something, because I'm trying to, it's protesting. I want to capture it raw and beautiful and exactly how it is. But yeah, so I'll try and just make maybe things a little bit like smoother or something. But like with my protest photos, I'm not gonna go in and like edit a pimple out or something if I see it.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is photographer Mariah Harris. Her work is included in the show Perspectives, which is on now at the Portland Art Museum through November the 13th, and it focuses on the Black Lives Matter protests in Portland in 2020 and 2021. There was a great moment, and I so wish I'd been there, the dying on the Burnside Bridge, spectacular amount of people.
It was a big moment.
Lay down, put their hands behind their back. And you chose two pictures from what you took. One is the back of a wheelchair, and it says Quickie, and the person's house keys are hanging on the back.
Yeah.
Even their phone is still attached to the phone stand. But it's one of those, you know, manual wheelchairs where the wheels lean in, so they're kind of more, I guess, Quickie, you know, like you could use it for basketball or rugby. Everyone is blurred, pretty much, but you know it's Burnside because you can see the
bridge in the background,
bridge tower, and the gantries, and the red and white awnings. There is one red and black shopping bag or purse in the foreground, but everything else is pretty much black, beige, and white. And then the next picture is the dying looking in the other direction, and you can see more people. You can see their faces. They're looking up. The bikes are on flat, and but you focus on this one guy's taking a knee, and he's got his right fist up, and a face mask and a camo hoodie. Well, why did you pick those two images, the wheelchair and the guy who's not lying down?
So those images were happening. Well, images were happening very fast, because it was happening during only 8 minutes and 46 seconds that everyone was on the ground for George Floyd. And we covered the entire bridge. Like, obviously, we know the Burnside Bridge is huge. So I was just in a particular middle area of the bridge shooting people in this powerful moment of silence. Like, you could hear people crying and resonating with, you know, how they were on the ground, and that was how George spent his last moments. Even though all these people didn't have a knee in their neck, they were just, it was a very strong moment. And so I was going around capturing, not like obviously putting my lens in people's faces, but certain moments from that, like how I captured the wheelchair. I actually became friends with the owner of that wheelchair. His name is Dustin, and he is a very, very, very amazing individual. And I thought it was just absolutely amazing that a person who has disabilities decided to get out of their wheelchair and get on the ground and have that moment and be with us. Because sometimes, I mean, I don't think it's required to do so, but that just shows, like, to me how much, like, this moment, what meant for him to be a part of it with us. And then the other individual who was kneeling with his fist in the air, like I say, people were doing different things. Some people were completely laying down, as I said, the individual was, you know, kneeling with one fist. There were some people holding flags, obviously. Like I said, there were thousands of us, and people were on bikes just standing. And I think I just happened to turn around, and he was there holding his moment in that, and he happened to be staring right at me as I took my photo. And yeah, and then I captured that image of him. I wish I learned who that person was, but I did not.
You can't run him through facial recognition because he's got a mask on.
I know, right?
Just the eyes. Someone knows him. Someone will see him. But, you know, there's another drone picture by someone else of the bridge, and you can see how many people are on it at that moment.
Probably Joseph Blake's photo. He's the other drone person.
Yeah, and it does capture the kind of massive humanity all you know, acting in as one, in one direction, and there's not really much anyone can do to stop it. You get that feeling of, wow, it's both spontaneous and kind of overpowering. you have another picture. It's people facing the camera. They're all shining their light, their phone lights at you. You know, you basically, the it's very grainy. It's a night shot with all this light you're trying to compensate for. And then right down the front, there's a woman with a mask, and she's got like green kind of bold.
Yeah, that's actually a non-binary individual because they also found me on Instagram. Yeah. And yeah, a lot of people found my photos and they're like, you took that photo of me, because I, when I did another, at the time back in 2020, when all this happened, I put, I did an interview with KGW and I put that out there. And at the time I didn't know who they were, and I'm still learning and growing too. And I misgendered, identified them because I did not know who they were at the time. But yeah, that is actually a non-binary individual right there in the front. In that moment, it was on Breonna Taylor's birthday. Because yeah, mm-hmm. this image actually, I almost didn't have it make the final cut due to how grainy it is. And yeah. that usually doesn't reflect, I won't say what I usually do, but I was just very still moved. I was too moved by the photo. And the Portland Art Museum said that the resolution was fine. So I was like, let's give it a go, because I would like for this to be on display. But yeah, at the moment, so yeah, that was Breonna Taylor's birthday. And everyone was downtown and we were actually singing happy birthday to her. And we were singing, well, we sung it twice. And then a lot of people had their phones and lighters in the air. And that image was actually, yeah, it was another image that I extremely zoomed in on, because I actually almost tossed that image. I did not like it due to how grainy it was. And I didn't think I could get the full and I could not clear it up, because sometimes when I'm shooting, I make mistakes and my settings aren't, you know, super proper. And I felt that picture almost, yeah, didn't make it. But I just zoomed in and that little angle of them holding that, and I was like, okay, I really like this and I want it to make the cut.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could see, I mean, if it wasn't for the tears, which are really just a series of dots on the lower eyelid, mm-hmm. you probably wouldn't think this was remarkable, right?
It's, yeah,
because I would just think it's
yeah, I would just think it's like it's like a 2008 cell phone photo is what I would have thought.
You called it Tears for Breonna, and then What is Violence is the next one, and it's a great, I think, Hawthorne Bridge.
Nailed it.
So all the steel is enveloping the frame and above the frame, and then you've got two rail signs, Black Lives Matter, sort of black on yellow, and then you've got White Silence is Violence, and that's right in the middle. It's been duct taped to a piece of bamboo, and you can see the hand holding it, so it doesn't flap, you know, they're holding it high up.
Yeah.
The Sharpie writing is sort of very inconsistent, but you...
I know, right?
You can read it. White Silence is Violence. Why did you choose this picture?
For me, it's the lighting, the way the sun was hitting behind the bridge, and I love golden suns. Obviously, I edit very golden-like, and I just happen to be in the middle of the Hawthorne... I felt rude at the time because I was just like, everyone's marching around me. I was like, I just got to get these shots. Like, I'm just shooting. And so I just stood right in the middle as everyone was just walking by me. And I was just trying to get every single sign that I could get, because that lighting was just perfect. And I was just like, I have to capture all the signs that I could. I mean, I've captured thousands of photos. Obviously, I only chose 10 for this art museum exhibition. But others that I took from the bridge are in a photo book that I did publish. But this was just one of my very top images, because it's, yeah, people are just like, yeah, thinking like, what is violence? And a lot of what Black people are dealing with is, well, I won't say just what we're dealing with, but it's because we are dealing with silence from our quote unquote allies.
What's the name of the book?
My book is called Black Uprising.
When did that come out?
I published it on the 1 year anniversary for George Floyd. So it came out last May 25th.
Mm-hmm. And how many pictures are in it?
Over 200 photos are in the book.
Oh, wow. Okay. So someone's going to get a better sense of your style from that than these 10 pictures. One of the ones I love is what you call it, fascism and capitalism. Because that's someone wrote that on a kind of a gray, it looks like an electrical box.
It was a chest freezer. It was a big chest
Oh, okay. Well, it's, you know, on the sidewalk. And then the main graffiti you're focusing on is red and yellow. It says ACAB, like all cops are bastards.
Mm-hmm.
LM, little tag in the corner of that on the B. And then below it, Tranarchy, which is written in a kind of black and white lowercase sort of shadow writing. And then there's that symbol, the woman with the two men. And then an A, an anarchy A.
There was so much graffiti because this photo was actually taken when all of the Red House eviction that was happening at the Red House on North Mississippi, which is a house that I've grown up my entire life because that's my neighborhood. So I'm like, when all, because I'm me and another comrade, we started the Red House protest back in October before the eviction happened in December. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was actually one of the ones who started the Red House protest. And then the day that when the cops evicted them at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know, all of the community took over the neighborhood, and that was one of the apartment buildings across the street where people just went to town on their graffiti.
How's the relationship between you kind of white Antifa people and the Black people who took to the streets? How is that today?
I'm really not sure. I know, like, well, for one, it's like protesting hasn't ended, just because people aren't out in the streets. Because I know there's this whole thing with Antifa, or people claim to be Antifa. I'm just out in these streets trying to capture in history and with the gift that I have.
Your work in this show, Perspectives, you're one of six photographers. You're a professional. Two of the others were in kind of branding and Wieden and Kennedy stuff. Another one was a school teacher. Well, what was it like all coming together? How do you see this array of styles and perspectives?
It's nice for, the majority of us, there are five of us are Black, and there's one person who's a non-Black person of color, but it's very nice for us to be able to tell our own history, like through our own lens, because a lot of Black history hasn't been told through the lens of our own people. And it's like, honestly, it's a form of oppression itself to not have our people tell our own history and how we want to tell it. And so it's very much like an honor to be finally like put on this platform, because a lot of people experienced in 2020, you know, all the big news reporters from, you know, NBC and all of them flying across the country. And it's like, I get, and a lot of us, we weren't working for those people. Maybe we got like a couple of freelance assignments here and there, but we weren't, you know, we're not main on the staff for, you know, ABC News and doing what they're telling us and what they want us to do. So a lot of this was coming from just regular old citizens who, you know, are Black or of color, and wanting to capture our own history and be able to tell it. We just didn't know it was going to be able to be at this height, which is obviously just a great honor to have. And I feel completely honored, especially being the only woman in this exhibit, to be a part of this. Because women very much don't get the same respect or even height or recognition that men do. So I'm like, I'm fighting for representation for Black women, and I'm hoping to show people that they can do it. It can be accomplished.
And looking back, it's been a couple of years. What's happened to the energy from those days?
It's definitely died off. It's not that we've gone back to the real world, because I don't think that exists anymore. But the business is not the same as when it all happened and people were running to support these people of color businesses and Black businesses, and where our sales were just out of the roof for a few months. So it's died off, and I don't like that it has. And I hope people can reexamine what, or necessarily what they haven't been doing, and kick that energy back up a notch to support all these wonderful, you know, Black and of color businesses that are out here in Portland.
Mm-hmm. Do you think your pictures, these photos you took, change any minds?
I hope so. That's my goal through my photos, is to give people hope and glimmer of the world of what can be, because I like to, like I say, I like to try and capture the joy in the pain of protesting. And that is one hard thing to do, because it's very easy to capture a burning flag or being tear gassed every night. I mean, I experience it, but it's, I'm already dealing with it, and I don't want to highlight that. And I want people to find the good or the joy in this pain, and that it's able to be captured, and that it gives you a hope of like what we really can be.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was photographer Mariah Harris. Her contribution to a show of Black Lives Matter photography called Perspectives is on now at the Portland Art Museum through November the 13th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Mariah.
Thank you.
Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
La ville en fête et en délire, suffoquant sous le soleil et sous la joie. Et j'entends dans la musique les cris, les rires qui éclatent et rebondissent autour de moi. Éperdu parmi ces gens qui me bousculent, étourdi, désemparé, je reste là. Quand soudain je me retourne, il se recule et la foule vient me jeter entre ses bras. Emportés par la foule qui nous entraîne, écrasés l'un contre l'autre, nous ne formons qu'un seul corps. Et le flot sans effort nous pousse enchaîner l'un et l'autre.